What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at DeepDiveFF or on Instagram at DeepDiveFantasyFootball. With that being said, let's get to the content. What's up, divers? Welcome into another episode of the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm excited to bring you guys a little bit, just a little bit on the rookie quarterback class. I definitely am not going to be your number one source. If I'm the only person you're listening to for these quarterbacks, I will, you know, do my best to give you an overview on them. However, there are much smarter, better sources out there than I. However, I will do my best. I've been kind of grinding it out on these quarterbacks these past few days, really getting into the weeds on them. And, you know, I've watched them. I've seen highlights beforehand, but now I've been trying to get the game tape that I can, not watching every play. But I do watch a lot of guys that I know can successfully analyze quarterbacks. And I've been just watching hours of their breakdowns and stuff like that. And, you know, taking it in and also thinking about fantasy at the same time, because a lot of these guys, you know, they're doing it from the perspective of if the quarterback's going to be good for the NFL, not necessarily fantasy guys. They're more just analyst guys in terms of, or I should say scouts, I guess, not analysts. That would be me. But so talking about these guys, we'll start it off with Caleb Williams. So if you guys have access to the Dynasty Ranking and Rookie Grades sheet that I have on lockdown, you know, it is something you do have to pay for. A lot of you guys that are listening probably do have access to and have paid for it, but it's not too pricey. Hit me up if you're interested. But there's two things you're going to see when you're looking at my quarterbacks right now. You're going to see the score for them on the left. That is something that will change massively depending on landing spot, stuff like that. And then you're also going to see film, a film grade, and then even a little bit more to the right of the name, you're going to see a rushing grade. So just to kind of speak to the rubric that I have created, this is my first year creating a rubric. I used to just look at the guys, rank them, and, you know, just take them based off what I'm projecting. However, I didn't have a rubric, an actual scoring system. And the reason that I have this is it can help identify tiers, and it can also provide a sort of structure and organization to ranking guys, and it's something that I can fine tune year after year. So this is the rough draft. This is the first year of the rubrics for all the positions for the rookies that I have done, and I'm excited to see how it bears out at the end of the season, but we're a long ways from that. So when we're looking at the grading rubric, some things to know. When I'm looking at the film grade that I have for each of these guys, I break it down into a bunch of different categories. The thing that holds the most weight for me is mental processing. We know quarterback is a between-the-ears position, and if you're not smart, you're not going to last very long. And so mental processing is 10 of the 60 points of my film grade. And mental processing is 10 of the overall 100 points in the score for the prospect. So for quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, wide receiver, whatever position we're talking about, they all have 100 points. And I just divide by 10 so that the, you know, best grade that somebody can get is 10. So I just take their total score, divide by 10. That's how they get their grade. But to speak to quarterback specifically, 60 points of the 100 are going to be based off film. 15 of the 100 are going to be investment, draft capital. I'm talking about where they're being taken. And that will account for a lot of things that I don't have in my film grades, which we'll break down in a second. But investment, what the team is paying for a quarterback, that's going to account for things like risk, things like injury history, things like turnover problems, things like age. That's all going to be taken into account by the team drafting the player, irregardless of what their actual understanding of the prospect is and how good they're going to be. They're also all kind of going to be on the same page of age and risk and injury history and stuff like that. They're going to be in the same ballpark. So that's going to be built into the investment. So that's why I don't have those as separate categories. But I've got 15% going to investment, 20% going to landing spot. I do truly believe in my heart that quarterbacks, like even a Patrick Mahomes, could be completely ruined depending on where they land. If Patrick Mahomes didn't get a year to sit, if he was thrown in the fire in the New York Jets organization behind a bad offensive line, trash coaching, and no weapons, what Sam Darnold was thrown into, if you threw Mahomes into that and he didn't have a year to sit, didn't have Andy Reid, didn't have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, didn't have a decent offensive line, I truly believe that Patrick Mahomes would not be a top five quarterback right now in this league. Now, could he? Yes, and I wouldn't say that he couldn't be, but if you're just telling me to guess, I would say, yeah, he probably wouldn't be. And if you told me Justin Fields got drafted to the Colts instead of Anthony Richardson with Shane Steichen there, who has developed and proven to be good with quarterbacks with that skill set, I think Justin Fields would probably be a top 12 quarterback in the NFL, top 15 quarterback in the NFL. Instead, he's fighting for a roster spot because he was destined for failure in Chicago. So I think that quarterback is, more than any other position, very dependent on landing spot. That's why that's 20% of the grade for me. And then 5% is to rushing, 60% is film. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Like I said, going through the film, mental processing holds the most weight for me with 10 points total. Pocket awareness, 7 points total, is the second most. And then the rest of it, almost the rest of it, is all 5 points each. We're talking footwork, accuracy to the short areas of the field, accuracy to the medium areas of the field, deep accuracy, arm strength, out of structure ability. I have poise and blitz performance in one category together. I have escapability, and then I have for 3 points at the end, character. And I think character, it's the only position that I count character is for quarterback. And that's kind of a difficult thing to look at when I'm talking about character, what I do and the way that I come up with that score, because that's, you know, going to be kind of a biased, objective or subjective. Yeah, subjective type of point system. So what I do is I type in the person's name. It might sound silly. I type in the person's name and I type in character on Google and I hit search. When you type in a quarterback's name, that's a high tier prospect, and put character and hit search on Google, you're going to get either good things or bad things. And for the guys with really good character, you're going to just see a million articles of people talking to people that's played with them, people that have coached them, people that know them in their personal lives, talking about how good of a person they are, the things that they do behind closed doors, stuff like that. That will just flood the Google search. And you know, you might have to go down past like the first 4 or 5 things that come up, but that will flood the Google search. And then if you type that in for somebody like, for example, Jameis Winston, you would have gotten all the articles of, you know, yes, people saying he's a great guy and stuff. You'd also would have got the articles of the crab legs and the blah, 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 right? So you kind of get what I'm getting to here. And then also, in addition to that, and just seeing what kind of things come up and clicking into those articles and reading what people have to say about the player, because obviously I don't know them, right? And that's why it's only 3 points, because I can't pretend to just be like, oh yeah, I can consider this a heavy part of my grading system and I know them personally. Like, I'm not going to do that, obviously. So the other thing I do for character is I kind of just watch some interviews, listen to them talk. Are they lifting and propping up themselves in their answers, or are they lifting and propping up the people that helped them get to where they're at? Are they propping up the offensive line, the weapons that they had, the coaching, their family, and their upbringing? Or are they saying, yeah, I worked really hard and, you know, I deserve to be where I'm at and blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of to speak to the character, but we're going to get into all this stuff. We're going to start with Caleb Williams. So Caleb Williams, out of the 60 total points for film grade, I have him at a 46. And he has the highest score for me right now, which is a 4.9. The thing that is adding up to the score, because it's going to be out of 10, but we haven't had the draft yet, so we don't have landing spot or investment, draft capital investment, included in the score. So that's why these scores are really low right now. But the two things that are adding to the score right now are the film grades and the rushing ability. And I have rushing ability broken down into five possibilities because it's 5 points total. If your rushing ability exists, if you can get 100 rushing yards in the NFL, if I can project you to get 100 rushing yards, you get 1 point. That's just bare minimum. If I think you'll have decent rushing ability in the NFL, think you can run for just above 200 yards in that 200 to 350 yard range, you get 2 points. If you can get in the 350 to 500 rushing yard range, you get 3 points. That's good. That's your Patrick Mahomes is sometimes above that 350 mark. He's a good rushing ability guy, but he's not somebody that makes that a big part of his game. In terms of scrambling and escapability, yes, but in terms of actual rushing yardage production for fantasy football, no. Now, if you can go over 500, if you have the potential to go over 500 rushing yards, I give you a great score with 4. And if you have the potential to go over 700 rushing yards, like the very few Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray, that bucket, then you get the elite 5 out of 5 for rushing ability. All right, so those are the two things that are giving the scores right now. Caleb Williams comes in at my quarterback 1. His score right now is 4.9. His film grade is 46. I think that there is a big drop-off from Caleb Williams to Drake May, which is my number 2. Oh, man. I didn't want to give it away that quick. Dang it, Brandon. All right. So now you know my 1 and 2, Caleb Williams, Drake May. But I think there's a drop-off. Caleb Williams has probably the best floor, definitely, especially for fantasy football, because while Jaden Daniels is also going to have a really good floor because his rushing is going to be elite, and he doesn't have to be a good passer at all, kind of like Fields has a really good floor when he was playing. I think Daniels, like Fields, could find himself off the field. And we're talking about dynasty, right? So that's why Caleb Williams has the safest floor for me, just because he's the best prospect. And it's not close. I don't think it's very close. So his film grade for me is 46. He's got a 3 overall score for rushing. I can see him going above 350, kind of the same Patrick Mahomes range, maybe a little bit more than Patrick Mahomes, but as long as he's in that threshold from 350 to 500, that 3 is deserved, and that's what I think Caleb Williams will be at. He's got a nice score for processing. He's a good quarterback with mental processing between the ears. He's not great. He's not, you know, a Joe Burrow coming out and Andrew Luck coming out. Not in that category, and there is two people that I have a higher processing score between the ears than Caleb Williams in this class. However, the things that Caleb Williams does well, he does elite. And there are things that are going to be game-changing for him. He's got good pocket awareness. He knows when to get out of the pocket. He knows when he can stand in there and take a hit and get the ball out. His footwork is poor, but honestly, pretty much every quarterback in this class has poor footwork, save for one. And his short accuracy is good. His medium accuracy is good. His deep accuracy is very good. Medium accuracy is also very good. Arm strength is about tied for the best in the class. I mean, we've got 3 guys with really good arm strength in this class that are at the top of rankings. You know, you've got Joe Milton, who's going to have a huge arm strength, probably 5 out of 5 in that category. But he's not going to be a very highly regarded prospect at the quarterback position. So I'm not including him when I'm saying that, you know, Caleb Williams has among the best arm strength in the class. He has the best by far, nobody's touching him, out of structure ability. When I'm talking about out of structure ability, I'm talking about things that are not designed and things that you are doing out of structure, the way that the play is not intended for you to do. So that's talking about rolling out of the pocket, doing things, throwing across your body, throwing sidearms, different types of arm angles, things that are just not your typical structured type of quarterback play, standing in the pocket, stuff like that. So he has definitely the best out of structure stuff. He's got about average poise. I think sometimes he does bail a little too early, sometimes gets a little freaked out, stuff like that, gets caught dancing too much. His escapability is by far the best in the class, elite, 5 out of 5 on escapability. He gets out of some crazy situations. You think he's getting sacked and somehow he pops out. Kind of like some stuff that you saw from Kyler Murray in college. He's the same way. That escapability is elite. And I gave him a 3 out of 3 for character. I've actually, honestly, the top quarterbacks in this class were really blessed with really high character guys. There's only one guy that we're going to talk about today that I didn't give a 3. I gave him a 2.5. And I didn't find anything bad. It's just I wasn't able to find as much good as I was compared to all these other guys. And I like the guy a lot. It's nothing against him. But I just, it didn't seem like people were all about him the same way that the teammates and everybody was about the rest of the quarterbacks. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So that's Caleb Williams. I think that it's a clear tier one by himself. A lot of people like to say, oh, my QB2 is blank. Some people will say Jaden Daniels. Some people will say Drake May. Some people will say JJ McCarthy. That's pretty much where it stops. I haven't heard anybody say Penix is QB2. But between all of those guys, whoever somebody has as QB2, some of them like to say, oh, I've got Drake May at QB2, and Drake May is closer to Caleb Williams than he is to QB3. I don't think that that's fair. I don't think that's a good assessment. I don't think that's what this draft class looks like. I think Caleb Williams is the only quarterback. Hear me when I say this. Caleb Williams is the only quarterback that I feel absolutely comfortable and at peace with drafting in fantasy football. He is the only one. Depending on landing spot, these other guys could be really scary, could be really risky. We know how many quarterbacks get drafted in the top of the NFL draft and fizzle out of nowhere. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, just to name some really recent ones. Go back a little farther. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Mitch Trubisky, a Chicago Bear, Carson Wentz. There's just a lot of them. It happens a lot. It's not that hard. Baker Mayfield fell out for a while, right? Now he's looking like he's paying off a little bit, not for probably what you drafted him as if you've had him that long, which I doubt. But and if you're in a league, by the way, if you're in a dynasty league that has been going that long where Baker Mayfield's rookie draft, you're still alive, good job. You are one of few. I have a couple dynasty leagues like that and blessed to be in them. Love dynasty leagues that go the long haul or the long distance. But all right. So to stop dancing around, let's get to QB2. It's Drake May for me. His film grade is 43. Like I said, Caleb Williams is 46. Drake May is 43. I do think in terms of just standing in the pocket, going through reads, Drake May is a little bit better than Caleb Williams. I have his mental processing a tick, just a very small tick above Caleb Williams. Same grade for pocket awareness. Worse footwork. Definitely has worse footwork. He pitter-patters a little bit more, in my opinion, and doesn't drive and, you know, hitch when he's supposed to and drive the way he should and probably throws off the back foot a little too much. It's kind of unnecessary, stuff like that. He just attempts very high difficulty throws for no reason. So his footwork, you know, his short accuracy is about average, medium accuracy is about average, his deep accuracy is very nice, his arm strength is the same with Caleb Williams. He's also really good out of structure, like Caleb Williams. He's the second highest graded for me out of the big four that we're talking about today. Is it big four? Sorry, out of the big five we're going to be talking about today. A lot of people say it's a top four. I think it's a top five, in my opinion, and we'll talk about that. But now for fantasy, that might have to be discussed. But in terms of just overall quarterback ability, I think that that's fair. When we're looking at arm strength, I already said, yes, out of structure ability is very good. I think Drake May might have the best poise. Drake May might be the best quarterback out of these top guys against the blitz, and he might be the best quarterback in terms of just being able to stand there with confidence, with strength, and deliver the ball knowing that he's about to get blown the F up. Drake May is good at that. I love Drake May's poise, and he's got the size for it. I mean, he's a big dude, strong dude, heavy dude, like, sees above the line of scrimmage. So, you know, it makes sense. That's what you would kind of expect or at least hope for from a guy from a guy like him. So he's got the best poise for me in the class. His escapability is among the worst, though. He's not very good or nifty at getting out of sacks. If somebody's getting a hand on him or somebody's closing a lane on him, it's not often that he's making that guy miss and popping out and keeping the play alive. I will say that. So his escapability is not that good. And I gave him a 3 for character, just like Caleb Williams. My thing for Drake May is there's a lot of little things that need to get coached out. A lot of little things that could end up making him an inconsistent quarterback and making him a, especially with how high of an aggressive passer he is. He really is just an aggressor. I mean, he will pass up. He'll look at a running back going out in a flat when it's there and it's third and four and he should probably take that. And he's like, but there's a post going deep and I think I can hit that pass. And most of the time he will hit the pass. But, you know, also one other thing for Drake May. His supporting cast, definitely the worst out of all of these guys we're going to talk about on this episode. We're talking about the top five consensus quarterbacks, which are also my top five as of now. I don't see that changing, though. And he has by far the worst. I mean, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, you're getting first rounders somewhere from most of these guys. It's either offensive linemen or, I mean, even the team, like just the whole, all of those teams are just completely stacked with talent. Drake May, UNC, there's not too much talent there. I mean, it was just Drake May. DeVontez Walker, a lot of people were excited for. He didn't really do much with Drake May. So when we're looking, he doesn't have, you know, he's not behind a bunch of first rounders on the offensive line. He's not throwing to a bunch of first round picks like Jaden Daniels. Michael Penix has some good offensive line guys there. J.J. McCarthy. Caleb Williams, I think, might have one or two. I'm actually not super well versed on the offensive line for Caleb Williams. But continuing on, pushing forward, let's go forth and prosper. That's Drake May. He's coming from a tough spot there, and I think he's going to be very landing spot dependent. I want to see him go somewhere with an offensive guru. If he goes somewhere with lackluster weapons, if he goes to the Patriots, for example, I'm probably out. Like, I hate to say it. There's only one quarterback that can go to the Patriots that I'll probably be interested in drafting, and we'll talk about him. Because obviously Caleb Williams is going to go number one overall. Caleb, if he was in New England, I would still draft him because of the talent just that he brings and everything that he is. But I think a lot of these other guys are going to be very landing spot dependent. So that's Drake May. And at number three, this is the one that's sneaky. This is the one that you're probably not expecting. Sounds a little crazy. Might be a little bit of a hot take. But I've got Michael Penix. Now, it's important to note, this is not my rankings for fantasy football. This is my rankings. Because I'll tell you right now, if it's rankings for fantasy football, without knowing landing spot, I'm going to move Jaden Daniels up to number two because of the rushing. But once I know landing spot, that's going to, you know, change things a little bit. But in terms of an actual quarterback, Michael Penix is number three. His film grade is almost tied with Drake May. Drake May was at 43, Michael Penix is at 42. Really, the only difference for me between May and Penix is May offers you a lot more out of structure. He's somebody that can do a lot more with arm angles. He can do a lot more with keeping a play alive, stuff like that. But Michael Penix, by far, hands down, is the best passer. Better than Caleb Williams, by far, best passer in this class. He's a point guard. And honestly, when I think about Michael Penix, if you're not familiar at all, if you're not a college watcher or anything like that, then I want you to think about this. Take Tua Tagovailoa, make him bigger, stronger. And when I say bigger, I mean like taller and like more cut, right? So make Tua throw 3 inches on Tua's height and then maybe four. I'm not sure how far apart they are. Add 30 pounds of muscle or, you know, cut him down to being super lean and then give him a stronger arm. That's Michael Penix to me. And the league has properly, I would say, somewhat properly, transitioned from these old-fashioned, I want to stand in the pocket, deliver the ball, don't care about rushing, anything like that. I just want a guy who can read the field and deliver the ball for me and my offense and what I design. That used to be the go-to. That used to be what the NFL coveted. And now they really want that athleticism, the escapability out of structure, being able to do a lot and on your own and make a lot out of nothing. That's something that the NFL values a lot now. And it's not something that Penix really brings to the table. However, I will say this. If Tua is getting drafted in the top 10 of an NFL draft, right? What's another good example? Oh, man. So, okay. You know what? I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. I was going to start going down a list of all the quarterbacks that were not athletes that were getting drafted super high, Josh Rosen and just a bunch of other ones that were getting drafted too high, but I'm not going to do that. Michael Penix is probably better than all of them because he is stronger. He is an athlete. He's a crazy athlete. Ran really fast, jumps really high despite all of his injuries, all of that stuff. And he brings just that strength. He's got better arm strength than anybody, I think. Not anybody, but outside of the top two guys in May and Caleb Williams, out of the rest, he's got the best arm strength. And you can put him in a conversation with May and Caleb Williams. So the reason I would say he's not just there on those guys is because he doesn't have the ability and the arm strength to be able to throw off platform the way that they can, like throwing off his back foot, throwing while falling or running opposite direction that he's trying to throw, because he's left-handed. So, you know, when he's running to his right and throwing, he can't really do the things that Caleb Williams, Drake May can with their arm strength, stuff like that. That's where his deficiency is, but he is very strong, has the best deep ball in the class. I've got him with the highest score on deep ball, tied with Jaden Daniels, who we'll be getting to soon. He's got probably the best short accuracy and tied up there for the best medium accuracy. I mean, like I said, he is the best pocket passer. He's got the best processing score for me. He's got the best mental processing. I see him go through a lot of reads. A lot of these guys, and it's easy to be like this in college. You don't really need to be much better than this in college, especially if you've got weapons and a good play caller. But most college quarterbacks, they're going one read, two read, and that's usually it. Some of them will get to three. Michael Penix gets to three pretty often, and it makes sense. He's got three good wide receivers, Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk, and Rome Odunze. So, and they're probably all going to go in the top four rounds of the NFL draft, top three rounds. So, you know, it makes sense for Michael Penix. But just to kind of give you guys a look, Caleb Williams, a lot of people like to say Patrick Mahomes. Okay, that's fine. If you're just trying to understand the play style, that's a fine comparison. I don't think he will become Patrick Mahomes, but he does have a similar play style. Drake May has a similar play style to Justin Herbert. I actually also think he's got a kind of similar play style to Jameis Winston, because if something ends up hurting May, it's going to be his aggressiveness and him not learning when to not be aggressive and when to take the easy stuff. That was Jameis Winston's problem. That's why he went 30 for 30 one season, and that's why he's not a starter in the league anymore. Michael Penix for me would be a bigger, stronger Tua, and a lot of people are going to value that. I mean, a lot of people are really going to like that. Coaches really are going to look at that, especially if think about, you know, Brock Purdy is somebody that they value, right? Anybody that wants that guy who's just going to execute their system to the best of his ability with accuracy and the ability to go through reads, that's Michael Penix to me. And it might not be amazing for fantasy football. He's not going to be running all over the place, and which is weird, actually, that he's not, because he is, like I said, a very good athlete. I mean, he's running fast. I think he hit like just under 4.5. He's huge, guys. He is huge. He could maybe he didn't run much in the NFL. He doesn't really have the escapability. Like, it would have to be something designed, like a RPO designed run. But he could break off a 50-yard run and take it to the house. I mean, he's got the ability for it. It's just not something he ever did. And because of the fact he never did it, and because of how good he is in the pocket, I don't expect that to be something he does in the NFL. But it's a possibility. It is there. But when I'm looking at Penix, for me, it's more of a quarterback ranking than it is a fantasy ranking. Now, if you like those guys like Jared Goff, what he provides to you, what Dak Prescott is now that he's not running as much anymore, what Brock Purdy is, if you like that, you know, fringe quarterback one, top end quarterback two, Michael Penix is going to be a really good pick for you, because he's not going to go in the first round of your rookie drafts. Obviously, in the NFL draft, he will go in the first round. Well, I guess not obviously, but I think he will, because he is a very good pocket passer. And there's a lot of guys in the middle of the first round that are looking for a quarterback. You know, you've got the Raiders, you've got the Vikings if they're not able to trade up, which, by the way, truthfully, Justin Jefferson Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, the best quarterback that could land there for their success is probably Penix, because he's not going to take pass attempts away from them, pass volume away from the offense by running the ball like a Jaden Daniels. And he's going to be more accurate than Drake May. Caleb Williams isn't an option. And J.J. McCarthy, we're going to talk about him too, but he's not as accurate as Penix. And he might take away a pass or two per game with his legs. So when I'm looking at Penix, I mean, that's the dream. If my dream scenario now, it used to be Drake May. And honestly, it still is. But the Vikings, to me, if they can get May or Penix, especially if they get Penix with Penix falling, that's going to be amazing. If they're not able to trade up, you know, what I don't want to see is Penix go to the Broncos. That would be terrible. If he goes to the Raiders, that's fine because they have Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Michael Mayer. It's a nice little squad for him to throw the ball to. But I want him to go somewhere where I know the offensive scheming will be good. And that's why I love Minnesota as a landing spot, like we talked about on the last podcast. But I'm kind of all over the place. Hope you guys don't mind. Kind of just giving you guys my thoughts, looking at my scores and stuff like that for Michael Penix. To finish him out, really, because didn't really get into it. Like I said, I got the best processing score for him out of anybody. He's tied up there with pocket presence, pocket awareness with Caleb Williams and Drake May. He's got the best footwork in the class, I think, or you can at least make the argument for it. Looking at short, medium, deep accuracy, overall, he is the best, most accurate passer. He's got really good arm strength. Out of structure ability is a 1 out of 5. He's really doesn't bring you much out of structure. He's got decent poise, I'd say about average. His escapability, 1 out of 5. That's really the things holding him back. I gave him a 3 on character. Also, another thing, just keep in mind, I mean, Penix came back from some really gruesome, I guess gruesome is not the right word, but really serious injuries over and over and over. I read that he had 4 season-ending injuries, 2 ACL tears. That's rough, man. And he's still out here balling. He's been in college for a while. That's true. And he's got good weapons. That's true. But the one thing that weapons, it doesn't matter how good they are, they don't fix your accuracy and what it looks like when you're watching a quarterback. You can tell if a quarterback's accurate or not, right? If you turn on Jordan Travis and you look at some Jordan Travis games, you'll see that while his accuracy stats might not be terrible, he's not really that accurate. I mean, Keon Coleman does a lot to save him. Johnny Wilson sometimes saves him too. Johnny Wilson's not the most consistent catcher, but he does save him. And Keon Coleman, I mean, he's balls are 3 yards off and Keon Coleman's turned it into a perfect reception. I mean, when you're actually watching, though, you can tell he's not super accurate. If you slow it down and watch the adjustments wide receivers are having to make. But Penix, I mean, he just drops it right in the bucket for everybody. So I think my love affair for Penix is going to be over for now. But we're going to have to see on how high he gets drafted and where he goes, because that will play a big factor in my interest for him for fantasy. But for fantasy purposes, I will be looking his way for top-end second-round picks, middle second-round picks, kind of in the area that Will Levis was drafted last year. If Penix is in that area, I'm all over him, depending on where he lands, of course. Now, at 4, I have Jaden Daniels. And my score, by the way, for Michael Penix was 4.4. His film grade was 42. Jaden Daniels' film grade is 37. His score is 4.2. And, you know, when we're looking at film grade, a lot of my stuff is more geared towards being a passing quarterback. I mean, that's what the game is about, right? And we've got our own little thing for rushing. And like I said, this is not fantasy grading. This is just grading them as a quarterback. And what I would want as a GM, you know, for my NFL team, if I was running a team, and how I think quarterbacks should be valued, that's kind of how I tried to structure my rubric. And it might be something I adjust year after year to try to make it better. And figure out, you know, what should be, maybe I'm counting mental processing as too much, or maybe I'm counting arm strength as too much, or pocket awareness as too much, whatever, and try to adjust it. But when we're looking for Jaden, looking through Jaden Daniels, he's got the elite score for me for rushing. And that's why his score overall is at a 4.2, not too far behind Michael Penix, even though there's a huge disparity in film, because Penix is not going to run much, and Jaden Daniels is going to run a whole bunch. Now, when we're talking about processing, I've got the lowest score out of the guys we've talked about so far for Jaden Daniels. Might sound a little bit weird, but some people say, oh, Jaden Daniels is a one-read quarterback, and some people get confused. And I think that term kind of gets used loosely when you say one-read quarterback, so I don't want to use that. I'm going to just kind of describe what I mean. So when some of the things I saw with Jaden Daniels is, and by the way, guys, if you're looking for good breakdowns and stuff like that and you just don't know who to trust or where to go, there have been three guys that I consistently go to for quarterback-specific content, two mainly, and another one that I use for a lot of things. Benjamin Solak, one, hell of a dude, super entertaining. Also, he happens to be, this is just a fun fact, he happens to be Greek Orthodox. I'm Coptic Orthodox. You probably don't know what Orthodox is. It's a type of Christianity. It's like the oldest Christianity. That's why it's called Orthodox. But aside from that, he is just madly entertaining. Benjamin Solak. He's with The Ringer right now. I followed him through his career. He does this thing called The Play Sheet on YouTube, about 30-minute videos on these quarterbacks. I think he's got a Caleb Williams one coming out soon. But he does a lot of nice breakdowns, and he's very, you know, goofy and stuff like that. So it's not a boring watch at all. Then the QB School on YouTube, that's a nice one too. That also is somewhere I go if I'm really struggling to find detailed breakdowns and something other than highlights, because I'm not paying on sites for the All-22 film. That's not something that I'm doing really. And I've honestly, I don't have the time to go through every play for five games. Like, I'm a scout. I mean, those scouts are drowning in their work, and that's the only thing they're doing. I'm a projections guy. That's my bread and butter. You guys know that. I'm always going through all this stuff. And if you're in the Discord, you really know everything that I'm doing and pushing out, especially in terms of data scraping and mining research studies and looking for patterns and all that stuff. So I don't really have, there's only so much time to go around, right? And I obviously have a job outside of this. This is kind of my side hustle for now. This is my retirement plan, but just keep growing it on the side. But anyways, rant is over. Continuing on, Jaden Daniels. So processing, he's got the lowest, because when you're looking at what he does, I see a lot of times that he is, oh, by the way, the other guy is Matt Waldman. So it's Benjamin Solak, the QB School guy, and Matt Waldman. Those are the guys that I really, really trust with quarterback specific content. But watching Jaden Daniels, a lot of times he looks at his first read, then looks at his second read, and if the second read's not there, he pulls his head down and runs. A lot of times he gets caught doing that. And there are times you'll see Malik Nabers kind of just wide open with his hand up in the air, like, bro, throw me the ball. And Jaden Daniels is like, no, I already decided to run. And there's plenty of time for him to look up, lift your eyes, bro, lift your eyes, and throw that ball to the middle of the field. And that's a lot of times where it's at. I mean, he does not want to target the middle of the field. That's something that I really liked about Drake May. Drake May has no issue targeting the middle of the field. Jaden Daniels, it's like he's allergic to the middle of the field. He passes up a lot. He misses a lot there. He passes up a lot of things. That's something that he's going to have to get better at. That's something that Justin Fields, was not great at, was targeting the middle of the field. He was good targeting the sideline and other places, going deep. But the middle of the field was a no-go for Fields, and he was a rusher and somebody that went through, you know, his top two reads. So, you know, looking at the first guy, so the thing with the first read thing that people say, it's kind of funny because, yes, technically the first guy you're looking at is your first read, but you're not really reading the field in terms of anything of difficulty. Like, any quarterback has to look at the first option. So the first read to me, or like what would be considered something good, is moving from one to two, your first option to your second option. So I don't think saying first read is really that important of a term to be throwing around because of the context it's used in. I think that it should be, hey, this person goes through his first two options, or the first two people in the route that he's supposed to throw to, or his first two reads. But that's a way that makes more sense, right? So anyways, that's something that I see that's concerning about Jaden Daniels. And Let's talk about the good, though, because I don't want to just poop on the guy. He's got good accuracy going deep. He's probably right up there with Penix. I've got them tied with 4.5 out of 5 score for deep balls. He's got beautiful touch, man. He can layer the throw. He can put some air under it, let the receiver get there. And he's got decent arm strength. I think people kind of overrate his arm strength a little bit. His out-of-structure ability is decent, definitely better than Michael Penix, but it's not anything to write home about. He's kind of average on poise. His escapability, though, is right up there with Caleb Williams. I love his escapability. And he is the one that I have the 2.5 for character. Now, if you guys don't want to, you know, if you guys think the character thing is silly, that's cool. I think that it's important for a quarterback, leadership, how they can rally the troops, stuff like that, keeping people behind them. Because if you're a quarterback and your teammates aren't behind you, that can affect your play a lot. And you have to be able to lead the locker room. You don't want to be Mac Jones fighting with people all the time and making a fool of yourself and then getting traded away from your team that drafted you in the first round 2 years ago, you know? So when we're looking at Jaden Daniels, I don't see anything to say anything bad about his character, like I said. Giving him a 2.5 out of 3. That's like 90 or 88% or whatever it is score. The only reason I didn't give him a 3 is because when I type in everybody else's name, there's mad articles talking about all these people just heaping praise and about not how good of a player they are, but how good of a person they are. There's some of it for Jaden Daniels. And when I watch his interviews, he says some things that I like and some things that, you know, show me he's got good character. But it's just not to the same level that I see from the other guys. But if, like I said, if you guys think that doesn't matter, or you guys think it's silly, it's fine. It's 3 of 100 points total. And all of them, every guy we've talked about so far has been a 3 except for him. So it's really not making a difference in these scores. It's really there. I really have it there. So that when we have a red flag guy that I give a 0, it makes a dent in the score overall. That's really what the purpose is for having that there. But anyways, some of the things that he's not great at, we talked about, you know, he's got really good escapability, decent out of structure, perfect deep ball. His footwork is really bad. His pocket awareness is really bad. He lets himself get blown up a lot. And I don't know how that's going to stand it. And that's the other thing you got to worry about Jaden Daniels. So Michael Penix, some of the red flags, some of the things that teams are going to be worried about is injury history, right? And that's going to be built into his draft investment. Jaden Daniels, I'm sure a lot of NFL teams looking at him are worried just the same way I am. Is he going to be able to say, hey, I should probably slide. Hey, I should probably step out of bounds instead of trying to get those extra 2 yards. Because he doesn't have a big frame, first off. And second off, it doesn't matter how big of a guy you are. You don't need to be taking shots. You're a quarterback. You're a quarterback. You can't be taking those shots like that. You need to be head in the game, 100%, good to go, know exactly what you're doing. And he just puts himself in a lot of compromising positions. And the worst thing, and this is, you know, this is another thing to think about, he refuses to acknowledge that he should not be taking the hits. I've produced despite it, and I haven't been knocked out or had problems with it. I'm surviving the hits, so why should I stop? Dude, take every single person's advice and extend your career and keep yourself healthy, keep yourself safe, but it just doesn't seem like he cares. And that's concerning, because if he gets hit by a 240-pound linebacker, he's going to... that's not going to be good, man. It's not going to be good. And then we've got our fifth guy. He's got a higher film grade for me than Jaden Daniels. It's J.J. McCarthy. I've got him at 38.5 for film, above Jaden Daniels' 37. However, he's not going to rush nearly as much. I give him a 2 out of 5. Like I said, Daniels got the elite 5 out of 5 score for rushing. J.J. McCarthy's score overall right now is 4.05. His processing is not as good, in my opinion, as Drake May's, definitely not Michael Penix's, and not Caleb Williams. His pocket presence is, it's all right. I mean, after Penix, May, and Caleb Williams, I've got him with the 4th best pocket awareness, pocket presence, but, I mean, it's not really a great score. I got him at a 4.5 out of 7. His footwork is about average. His short accuracy is good. His medium accuracy is decent. His deep accuracy is poor. And that's the first guy that we've talked about that really doesn't have a great deep ball is J.J. McCarthy. And his arm strength is also the worst that we've talked about so far. He's also another guy like Jaden Daniels. People are overhyping the arm strength. They really are. I would say his arm strength is about average. I've got him at a 3 out of 5. Everybody else has been 3.5 or higher. And 3.5 was Jaden Daniels. Everybody else was above 4. So, you know, it's a good spot when you're looking at a guy who should go somewhere that has weapons, hopefully, has weapons, can sit and develop. That would be a perfect spot for McCarthy. But I don't think that's going to be the spot he finds himself in. I think he's going to get drafted too high. He's going to be thrown into the fire. And he doesn't have some of the things that these other guys have to survive the fire. Jaden Daniels has the rushing ability to keep himself afloat and to survive. Drake May has the out-of-structure ability, the ability to just make some crazy plays, getting tackled, getting sacked, being sideways parallel to the ground, and flicking the ball 15 yards down the field with great precision and converting on a third down. You know, stuff, or just ridiculous stuff like that. Running away from pressure off your back foot, tossing it across the field 35, 40 yards. That's not stuff that J.J. McCarthy can do either. He doesn't have the rushing to get him out of sticky situations. He doesn't have the arm talent to get him out of sticky situations. And he's not a super polished, super accurate guy like Penix. So that's why I have him down here at the fifth quarterback, when a lot of people like to put him at 2-3, sometimes 4, but it seems like 2-3 is a lot more popular right now for McCarthy. Now, obviously, we still have to get landing spot and investment. That's going to change a lot. That's, in total, 35 out of 100 total points to be added to these guys. That's going to shake them up in their order. Now, I can tell you right now, Caleb Williams, he's not going to move from number one because he's got a sizable lead already right now on everybody else. And I already know where he's going, and it's a pretty good landing spot, and it's the perfect draft capital investment score that you can get, number one overall. It's 15 total points. So he's not going to be moving from number one. But everybody else, it's going to be interesting, and I'm excited for this draft, man. I'm so excited for this draft. It's like Christmas to me. I'm thinking about, it depends on who I have come over and stuff, I'm thinking about live streaming during the draft. I'll at least be active in the Discord, so we'll be able to talk about stuff like that no matter what, but I might go live. We'll see about that. If you guys have any interest in me doing that, so you guys can get live fantasy reactions and takes off the offensive picks and stuff like that, then I might do that. That sounds cool to me. But let's go through J.J. McCarthy a little bit more. So we talked about his processing, pocket, footwork, and his accuracy. His arm strength is all right. Like I said, out of structure ability is decent. It's better than Jaden Daniels, better than Michael Penix, but it's not Caleb Williams, Drake May-esque. He does have, though, really good poise. I think him and Drake May have really good poise, good versus the blitz, good at standing in the pocket, taking the hit, and getting rid of the ball with accuracy, considering that you're getting blown up or about to get blown up. I think he's got good poise, and I like it. He doesn't get too jittery when pressure comes. His escapability is about average, and I gave him a 3 for character as well. So for me, J.J. McCarthy, he needs to go somewhere with weapons, with somebody that can develop him. And I can't just keep going back to the Vikings. I got to think of some other good landing spots. Another sneaky one. And honestly, a team that might take Penix might be the team that has his pro comp for me, and that's the Dolphins. You guys know I love the Dolphins as a sneaky landing spot. If Michael Penix is sliding, Tua's contract is coming up. If Mike McDaniels feels the same way about Penix as I do, and he thinks Penix can execute the offense to the same degree that Tua can, but he's also bigger and stronger and doesn't have all that concussion stuff, which, I mean, obviously Penix has his own things to worry about. But you're getting him on a rookie contract. If he slides to you, you don't have to trade up or anything like that. Might think about that, and I would love that for Penix. Especially because people would be so down on him because they would look at him as Tua's backup, right? Which would be true. He would be the backup for the year. But shoot, Jordan Love looks like a pretty darn good draft pick now, doesn't he? Patrick Mahomes looked like a pretty darn good draft pick, didn't he? It's not bad. That it creates value for you when these guys sit. Justin Herbert was expected to sit behind Tyrod Taylor before the coaching staff lost their minds and punctured his lung. Justin Herbert turned into a great draft pick, didn't he? So, you know, if somebody goes to Miami, whether it's McCarthy or Penix, or maybe one of these later guys, which I haven't really gotten into. I wanted to push out this podcast right when I finished the top five guys. So that's what I did. I finished them today. So that's why I wanted to talk about it. I did start getting in a little bit into Jordan Travis, but not going to talk about him yet. So that's what I got, guys. So my order right now is Caleb Williams, Drake May, Michael Penix, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy. Sounds like I'm getting tired. It is 4 a.m. at the time of me recording this. Like I said, I have been getting in the weeds. But I hope you guys appreciate the podcast. Hope you guys like it, and I hope it was easily digestible. And if you guys have any comments, hit me up, especially if you're in the Discord. But if you're not, if you're on Twitter, if you're on Instagram, still hit me up. And I'm obviously going to try to convince you to get in the Discord because that's my main platform now. But with that said, thank you guys for listening. Drop a rating, drop a review. I want to see a new review. So if you haven't left one, hook a brother up. Anyways, with that said, thank you guys. And until next time, peace.